Hey guys, welcome to the Legends of the Autobahn. This is one of the concourses at Car Week. Of course, best known for Pebble Beach and the Concours d'Elegance, but BMW is here making some news, and this is Nick. I forgot your last name, Nick, already.
Nick Gerstner. Yeah.
And he is with BMW. And Nick, you guys are here showing a brand new car, well, new to us here in the United States. So let's talk about the 2026 BMW M2 CS.
That's right, yeah. So second generation CS for the M2 lineup. And we can see a lot of the familiar things that we've seen with M3 and M4 CS. For example, this really beautiful, more open grille with the M2 CS logo with the red outline really has some presence, and you can really see this coming up in your rearview mirror.
Yeah, I think she likes it too. Yeah, she's taken by it.
That's a great future BMW customer.
I know. Got probably another 20 years before she gets behind the wheel.
Hopefully, we'll still be here.
All right, so yeah. Let's just give people a bit of a background. So in BMW speak, of course, there are the M vehicles.
Yes.
And then they have the competition above that.
Correct.
And then you have the CS above that.
That's right.
And then there's a CSL, which is a lightweight CS.
Yeah.
Which isn't coming yet, or maybe never.
Yeah, right now we just have the M2 CS, and again, that, as you mentioned, that's the top of the line M2 right now. I guess we could tell a little bit about it. So what have they done over the regular M2? Our M engineers have really looked at the engine, this glorious inline six-cylinder twin turbo. We've added 50 horsepower for a total of 523 and 39 more pound-feet of torque, so a total of 479. And that really gets our 0 to 60 time down by 0.2 seconds, so we're at 3.7 0 to 60 run.
Now, the M2 is the last BMW with a manual. Does this have a manual? Let's take a peek.
Let's have a look.
Let's put them in suspense. I'm guessing no, because you're not going to get that much performance out of a manual as you will an automatic, but yes, there it is.
Yeah.
Is that a dual clutch?
No, it's our M Steptronic transmission.
Uh-huh.
And because of the additional horsepower, this vehicle is automatic only. There's some trade-offs where if you get the increased horsepower, increased performance, we have to use our M Steptronic 8-speed transmission.
So I noticed that you've got the sport seats.
Yes.
With the CS logo prominently displayed, so you'll never forget what car you're in.
That's right.
Nor what seat you're sitting in. I love this. Is it Alcantara?
Yeah, Alcantara steering wheel with the red centering mark. I mean, I think it's really apparent when you're getting in the car, whether it's the door sills, as you mentioned, the emblem on the seat, the center console. We have a really cool CS logo in the carbon trim here
that
lights up.
Oh,
so it's really easy to remember what a special car this is when you get in.
And in terms of pricing, is there a special price?
It is a bargain at $98,600 plus destination and handling. But really, this is the full M carbon package, M driver's package with 188 mile per hour top speed limiter. So really, and of course, all of the suspension, the driving dynamics, the M stability control has all been reworked to really give that razor's edge sharpness to this car.
Well, there's some really nice details. Obviously, you said carbon fiber, so you can see it in the seats, you can see it on the dashboard, you can see it in the tunnel there, over here
on the mirrors.
But I like this. I like the little BMW M logo.
The M stripes.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Hey, speaking of carbon, let me show you one more thing that's really special. So the one thing that is probably my favorite part is this beautiful ducktail. And the whole trunk lid is made of carbon fiber, CFRP. So really lightweight. We tried to get the weight from the top of the vehicle out to push that center of gravity down, and it handles a lot better for it.
How much weight did you lose compared to a regular M2?
So over the M2 manual, which is the lightest M2 so far, this is 100 pounds lighter. With an automatic gearbox, it's 100 pounds lighter than the M2 manual.
That's significant.
How
about the exhaust? Same exhaust or
no? Different exhaust that we have than the normal M2, with these matte black exhaust tips and this beautiful, unique carbon fiber diffuser on the back.
So this is a 2026. If somebody wants one of these guys, when can they expect to have it at the dealership?
Run to your dealer. We started production in August, so we should see customer deliveries in quarter 3 of this year.
That's now.
But yeah, that's
colors.
That's around now.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know this color? It's kind of cool. It's purple-ish.
Very, very well.
Yeah. Well, this is our new color, unique on the M2CS right now. It's called Velvet Blue.
Oh, sweet.
It's optional. So this comes in black sapphire, Brooklyn gray, and an optional Velvet Blue.
Can we pop the hood? Can we look under there?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're just so pleased.
Sorry, we're going to pop the hood.
Velvet Blue.
And our fantastic sponsors.
You got a buyer already.
We got everything there.
Oh yeah, look at that.
Just some fantastic group of
so straight six.
Yeah, beautiful so inline six. I mean, BMW is known for our engines, especially the inline sixes.
Super smooth.
Yeah, oh, super smooth. It sings.
I'm sorry, I'm doing an interview. Can you just give me a second?
Oh, yeah.
Thanks.
Not coming in the manual?
No, this is automatic right now.
Okay. He didn't seem to care.
Yep.
Good thing that he's going to be on a social media site with millions of viewers. So
yeah.
There you go, dude. You got what you wanted.
As I was saying, BMW is known for our inline six engines. Sounds beautiful, smooth, torquey, and especially with these twin turbos on it, each one feeding three cylinders. The response time is super quick. Very responsive and just lightning fast.
And I gotta say, I love the wheels too.
The wheels are amazing.
The color is stunning and the pattern is beautiful. And the brakes, of course, popping out underneath are also pretty M-ish.
Yeah, there's kind of a lot to unpack just in this this fender well. So we have these beautiful bronze gold wheels, 19 inch up front, 20 inch in the back, so that we really hone in that perfect balance. So it helps with turn in, it helps with overall handling on this chassis to have the two different wheel sizes. And then also we've got, these are the optional carbon ceramic brakes.
I was wondering about that. You can see the kind of the kind of crack pattern that is usually indicative of carbon ceramics.
Exactly, yeah. So track days are extremely fun. You'll see great brakes holding up. Typical brakes, the standard brakes are the M compound brakes, also very good. But if you want that just a little bit more performance out of your braking system, this is the way to go.
Are the carbon ceramics optional or are they?
They are optional. Yeah. They're around an $8,000 option.
I figured, yeah. Are there any other options that you can get on the CS, or is it pretty much the way you see it?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is standard, right? Which makes it really great because there's not a lot of options that you want to pick and choose from. This car is pretty well equipped on its own. You can option to get this beautiful paint and the carbon ceramic brakes. The only other option, which is no charge, is the type of tire that you want. So we have a high performance tire, a track tire, and an ultra track tire for the customer to select for $0.
So if you want to have it as your track day car, you can get the track tires right from the factory, which is nice.
That's right. The day you get your initial M service, you can go right to the track.
I have a buddy who's got the current generation M2, and that's his track car. Yep. They're really good track cars.
Yeah, they're phenomenal.
Yeah, the weight balance is great, and they're they're powerful enough to be fun, but yet not terrifying to scare you.
That's right. And, I mean, what more could you ask for? Rear-wheel drive, the classic combination of sports car. You can, use the throttle to turn a little bit, so you really get that control over the car that I think a lot of our track goers really want to see.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Let me grab this from you, and I shall keep walking around.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Take care.
Roman.
Yeah, you bet.
I'm still over.
All right. There you go, guys.
I just can't walk away. It's just amazing. I ran into a
the new Adam. 2026 M2 CS. And I guess the one thing that that guy pointed out that is a little disappointing is that there's no manual. But if you want a manual, you can get the regular one. And the regular one, the regular M2 starts at about $60,000. So we're, I'm sorry, $67,000. So it's significantly cheaper. All right, so let's do this little walk around here of the Legends of the Autobahn. We'll start at the BMW booth because that's where the news was made. So let's take a quick walk through here and we can kind of see what cars are here. Now, of course, perhaps the most interesting car, if we're talking about new cars, is over here. And let me just turn off this mic so we don't get a weird sound. Turn off one of the lights here. There we go. And now we can do a quick walk around and take a look at some of the new BMWs before we hit some of the older classic cars. So this is an interesting car. It's the new M5. Of course, it's a plug-in hybrid. And a lot of people feel like this is a little too heavy to be an M car. And what makes, of course, this one unusual is that it's a touring, which in American means it's the station wagon. And this is the first time the M5 station wagon has ever come
tuned up
to America. And I'm hoping that this
That's one thing.
Hopefully, guys, foreshadows a future of the M3 touring coming to America as well. Now, I think BMW is taken aback just by how popular the touring in the M5 is. That's because they felt like the regular M5 would be a little bit more popular. But if you look at the Audi Avant RS6, the Audi station wagon, they don't even import the sedan. So I guess it kind of makes sense that the touring of the M5 would be the more popular one. And of course, what makes this even more unusual is this color. I haven't talked about it, but it's the elephant in the room. That is certainly an interesting color. If you want a brown M5 touring, if you want to know what it looks like, there it is. I don't think the door's open, but I can show you the interior. And I have driven this. Oh, it is open. That's nice. The one thing that I didn't love about this car was the fact that it is a little bit too haptic. So you can see there are really no controls outside of the door controls right there. But even on the door, a lot of haptic controls. And I'm just getting really tired of either everything in the screen or everything being haptic. And, you know, besides the weight of this, which is quite a lot, that's the one feature that I didn't love. But at 125,000, I think, 125 for the touring, maybe 127. This is something that is certainly relatively unusual. So yeah, there you go. A little bit of the M5 touring. So let's look around and let's take a step back in time and let's look at some other BMWs. This is a regular M5. Well, and this is the one that we have, of course, been used to. But as I'm here in BMW land, I'll show you kind of my favorite M5. M3s. But the M5 that is near and dear to my heart would be this one, which I believe would be the first generation M5 with the M88 engine out of the BMW M1. These cars are becoming very rare, very collectible, and very expensive. This one has German plates and old school BBS wheels. And it's a driver. Look at all of those little nicks in the front. How cool is that? And I loved back in the day when they still had wipers on the steering wheel. Let me see if this is the owner. Maybe you can ask him some questions about it. Let me turn on my microphone here. Are you the owner of this car? No?
Yeah.
Are you the owner of this M5?
The
M535i. Oh, it's not the M5. It's an M535i.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
It's the owner. I've been asking them a bunch of questions.
So, tell me about the car. What year is it?
It's 1985.
Yeah.
It was gray market imported into the United States by September of 1985. So it was a July 1st build date. It originally arrived in the East Coast in Maine and New Hampshire, first two owners. The third owner brought it to San Diego and did the conversion. Dynan Stage 3 suspension. There's a 5-speed transmission swap put into it and a larger rear end, so it's a 3.64 rear end. The original configuration of the car was an automatic with a 3.07 rear end, which was pretty standard for an M535i package. It's this color, it's Arctic Splow, Arctic Blue, metallic. The interior was originally pearl beige, that's the way this car was optioned.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
And about 3 years ago, I changed it out to Taurus Rock, which is Oxbow.
All right, so you fooled me. So I had an M535.
Okay.
I had the Japanese JDM, and it was before I bought it, it was also converted from automatic to manual.
Okay.
And obviously, it's got the M5 body kit, so you so it looks like an M5.
That's correct.
It just doesn't have the engine.
Correct. This motor is a standard
M30B34. Which was standard for all the BMWs in the 5 Series. This motor, however, is the high compression dirty motor, so it's the 218 horsepower version, and it's non-catalyzed.
So Vincent, so I have a question for you. Would you like an M88?
Well, like an M88. That depends. That's a loaded question, but yeah.
I say that. So I bought this car. And I was gonna engine swap it for an M88, and then it was taking such a long time, and it was getting so horrendously expensive that I decided to buy an M6 in the meantime. So I bought an M6, and then sold this car. But I have the M88 engine, so now I have an M88 without a car.
Well, we'll talk. If not me, there are many people that would. Yeah. Honestly, I like the standard M30B34 better for driving. You know, with the higher compression, it's very tight motor. It's a very forgiving motor. The cruising speed in this is really nice around town. It's really quite nice.
Yeah, and then when I bought the M6, that had the S38, I believe.
Correct.
Yeah. And so,
which is the configuration of the one next to us over there. Yeah.
Yeah. So also about the M80, it was a dry sump.
Okay.
Yeah, because it was the same engine out of the M1M, sorry.
Correct.
1M, yeah. Anyway, so now I don't have the car, but I have an engine.
Okay.
So if you want, I'll come by. I'll give you, after I'm done filming, I'll give you my car, and if somebody wants an M88.
We're a pretty big group, so someone's bound to want one.
Yeah, they're kind of unusual now.
Yeah, well, also talk to that man.
Do you want an M88 engine? Are you in the market for an M88?
Sure, if it's cheap enough.
Because I have one.
You're
in Holland?
I'm in Holland.
Oh, I'm in Colorado.
Oh, we're actually heading to Colorado today.
Are you?
Durango.
Oh, nice. You love it. Durango's beautiful. Yeah.
It'll fit.
So I was saying, I had this car and I bought the M88 to convert it.
Oh, right.
And then I sold the car before I did it.
Exact car?
Well, no, mine was a JDM, but the same model.
Okay.
So it was right-hand drive.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's nice meeting you guys. Bye. Anyway, working hard to sell my engine. I don't know how much it's worth. But if you're out there and you want an M88, I have one. And there is one caveat. And that is, the engine is completely taken apart, unfortunately. But I have all the pieces, so you're going to have to build it because I can't give up on it. I had it pretty much reborn and got the wiring harness for it, and just didn't want to go through the process of building it. Anyway, so there you have it. If you want a M88 that's in bits and pieces but complete with all the bolts and even the wiring harness, I have it sitting in our barn. Let's keep going. Legends of the Autobahn. I'll tell you a quick story as we walk around some more of these BMWs. So this is my second time here. If you've guys been following us at TFL for a while, you'll know that, 13, 14 years ago, I had a friend who was kind of coordinating the Pebble Beach Concours d'Elegance, and he told me that they were doing, another automotive journalist, that they were doing a Tatra class. So I said to him, I will buy a Tatra in Prague and I will drive it all the way to Pebble Beach. And he said, oh, we're only doing pre-war Tatras. And I said, no worries, I'm still going to drive it. It'll make for a good video series. And that's exactly what I did. I bought a really great Tatra 603. Look it up. It's a beautiful car from the 60s. Drove it to Bremerhaven from Prague, put on a boat, and picked it up in Baltimore. And then Nathan, myself, and Emmy drove it all the way across. This is M3ville here, by the way. Look at all these M3s. B36s. Drove it all the way to Pebble Beach, and then at the end, ended up showing it here at the Legends of the Autobahn because Pebble Beach would not have us. And then Ken, of course, made the decision, this was a friend of mine, to invite post-war Tatras, and he thought I was not being serious about driving one across country, so he invited this guy from Canada. And the one that I bought back then, at least, they were still relatively affordable. It was like $25,000. And excuse me. And it was a kind of a rotisserie renovation. So it was pristine and pure. And it was hard back then to let me go to the front of these, so you're not looking at the back end of the 635 CSI. BMW is, I think, the title sponsor, so that's why we're seeing so many BMWs here. But this is a lot more BMWs. Let me go back and kind of get some cars that aren't BMWs, maybe the Mercedes, some of the other German cars that are here. Anyway, car was pristine, and it was hard to get Tatras, all these 8 series, it was hard to get Tatras of the correct generation because they were never sold. They were given to the Communist Party officials with the driver, and then when whatever official was done with officiating, they'd go back to the factory, and then they would get refurbished, and they were given back to the next official. Oh, here we go, the 1M. Remember, I was just talking about it next to an Isetta. Tommy just did a video on Isetta. Anyway, so I'm here showing my car, and the guy, who's this Canadian guy who flew it down from Canada, his 603. He comes up to me and he goes, oh, your car is perfect. And I'm like, yeah, hell yeah, it's perfect. I was going to show it. And he said, you've got the right wheels. And I said, yes, of course I have the right wheels, because you have to be a real Tatra 603 aficionado to know the right wheels. And he said, can I buy them? And I said, no, you can't buy them. Anyway, I ended up selling that Tatra to a museum in Boston. I think it's still up there. But so this is where the M88 engine originally came from this BMW M1. When I was a kid, I remember this was kind of my dream car. And for a long time, they were somewhat affordable. They were, you know, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 cars. And now, of course, they're not. I don't know how much they go for currently. But it's BMW's first, and some argue only, supercar. So, really beautiful car. All right, well, let's keep going. We're already 21 minutes into the video. And maybe we can get away from this announcer so we can have a better sense of, well, that's a beautiful car too. Have a better sense of what other cars are here. I'm gonna zoom in just a little bit, give you a tighter view. But certainly, if you love German automobiles, this is the week to be here on the Monterey Peninsula. So we'll take a quick walk. And if I've missed some cars that you guys are interested in, I apologize. There's just so much here. Look at the exhaust on that guy. Wow. Certainly a track car. But let's go over here and take a look at one of my favorites. Which isn't exactly a legend of the Autobahn, but it's certainly a legend. It's the G-Wagon Squared. So we'll head over to Mercedes and see what they're showing. I don't know what the Range Rover is doing here. I guess you could take it on the Autobahn. Seems a little odd. And it's starting to rain a little bit, so if the lens gets a little cloudy, it's because got a little bit of a mist happening here, coming off the Pacific Ocean. All right, so let's take a look at these G-Wagons. So here's kind of my dream car, the 4x4 squared. I did a video with this in Moab, and yeah, let me zoom out again so you can get a better look at this. Quite the car, and I feel like I'm at the Overland Expo right now. We've got a G-Wagon done up for overlanding. Oh my, look at all of the fun stuff. And our sponsor, Onyx Off-Road, also sponsors this car. It's funny, you don't see a lot of G-Wagons off-road. I did see one when I was running Ophir Pass a few years ago. It was black on black on black, and the couple was from California. That had a rooftop tent. They were also dressed in black, but I kind of feel like Mercedes did it right with portal axles, and of course that one makes the 4x4 squared so unique, and that is it's got these, so you can see them, it's got these portal axles under there. And what portal axles do is, kind of hiding behind the bash plate, is they allow you to raise the vehicle, in this case several inches, without actually, and this is a previous gen of course, without changing the geometry. When you lift a car, you tend to change the geometry, the way that the half shafts are and the way the suspension works, and so you tend to make it much better off-road because you're gonna get more ground clearance, but you tend to make it much worse on-road. So good for off-road, not so good for off-road. This looks like a Brabus, maybe not, it's urban, but yeah, this is a G-Wagon with wheels that are stuffed out to the edge of the wheel wells. Of course, it's a matte black, as a G-Wagon should be. And yeah, interesting contrast between the off-road and the on-road. And it's pretty amazing that you can have one car. I can't think of any other car at the top of my head right now. Let me know in the comments below that has such a giant breadth of use, right? So obviously Legends of the Autobahn burner. It's quite comfortable on that. And then you can take it off-road with your triple lockers, or you can have the Graham-worthy 4x4 squared for all the insolences out there, and it does it all. All right, shall we take a look at the Mercedes? Now, when I walked here from my car, I noticed a lot of SLSs and SLRs, and I think, of course, the second, more G-Wagon, second you put gullwing doors on a car, especially a car with a history of gullwing doors, it makes it iconic. And here you go. It also makes it hard to get in and out of. Just saying, I have an i8. Or we have an i8. And speaking of the i8, as we're walking through here and looking at some of these beautiful classic Mercedes, kind of when the S-Class was the, this is the Mercedes-Benz 220 SEB, completely restored. It was a nice little memoir of how it was taken apart and put back together. This was when I think the Mercedes-Benz, at least in the 60s, was the standard of the world when it came to luxury sedans. And I do love the matching hubcaps that go along with the same color of the car. And here we have one that looks like it's an art car. BMW, of course, is known for doing art cars. I don't know what this is. Sorry if I don't know all these cars, guys. I am more up to date on modern vehicles than I am on older cars. But this car, Dave Tobin transformed his nickname Mercedes-Benz from just an old car to a piece of rolling art. Yes, rolling art. There you go. With a lot of classic Mercedes-Benz on it. So I guess that is rolling art. I'll keep walking through here. I am a sucker for these classic Mercedes. Okay, I see something crazy over there. I gotta go check this out. Especially when you slam this era of S-Class. Casey has one of these actually, believe it or not. It looks so cool. Just so cool when you slam it. All right, is this an SLR? It is a two crazy cars. Let's look at this guy. Now, I've heard from people who have driven these that they're a little bit more show than go, but this is a little bit of Stormtrooper. You can see the Stormtrooper helmet. I was going to say Mach 1 from Speed Racer because of those dual, I guess they're windows, I don't know. Canopies maybe right there. on the color, a little bit of Speed Racer to this, but I think they went for Stormtrooper. And then over here, you have, I don't want to get this guy shot, sorry. And over here you have another crazy one with the engine showing, the S-Club Newport Beach. Must be a customizer. Oh, I'm not going to even read that out loud, but you're welcome to read that if you want. Certainly has the attitude for what is written on there. And then the car that S-Club LA, yep, figured it's an LA. If you're going to have an SLR, it can't just be a regular SLR, can it? It's got to be the S-Club, and not Club, S-Club, spelled with a K, of course. And then, of course, the most interesting one is somebody's taken an old SL and electrified it, which some people may say is maybe a little too wrong. I don't know. Not cool, but I kind of like it, especially when they made this into a wide body. And so, you know, these cars, these first gen SLs are 300 SLs are, you know, Gullwings are probably 1.5, 2 million, and the convertibles are 1 to 1.5, and then to take it and electrify it is, you can tell it's electrified, and it's got a Tesla port. Holy cow, they're hopping. Don't know what that is. I'm guessing it's a subwoofer. But if you're wondering what it looked like originally, it's right here with that incredible blood red interior and spare tire in the back. And of course, these cars were the first, I think you can argue that these were the first supercars back in the 50s. Absolutely spectacular. Wondering if this thing has actually seen rain. Might be the first time it's ever seen rain. But yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. The one thing I've heard, and I haven't driven one of these, from people who actually have driven them, is that they get pretty hot. And those windows that he's putting back in, you want to keep those out because they do get pretty warm. I suspect the electric one might have air conditioning. If you're going to go to that trouble, electrify it. Why not throw in some air conditioning? I'm not a big fan of when you change the headlights on a car. This is kind of the thing here. But it's kind of like changing the eyes on a person. It certainly makes it look unique, but it also kind of dates it very quickly. But yeah, somebody certainly spent a lot of time, effort, and done a lot of interesting things with the 190 SL in this case, the convertible. I was in Japan earlier this year. I don't mean to be name dropping, and I went to the Tokyo Auto Salon, I think it was called. Basically, it's like the SEMA of Tokyo, and there was a company there called Liberty Walk, and they did a lot of cool things. They took like a F40 Ferrari, and they wide-bodied and they slammed it. And a lot of people would have thought that that is very sacrilegious, but I have to say I loved it. They actually had a graffiti artist working on one of the cars during the show, and I just loved it because it's taking something that is, you know, old and classic and making it modern and relevant. So here's a 300 SL. Boy, it's really starting to rain now. Here's a 300 SL that is original. And a lot of people think that originality is where it's had because, you know, there are only so many of these cars. And when you convert them into something like back there, then you're kind of taking away from what Mercedes originally designed, but I kind of like it because at some point the people who can afford these are old, and I'm getting to that age, not that I can afford it. I love the bugs on the front. This has been driven here. How cool is that? But you're taking something that is kind of old and not that relevant and making it fun and new and interesting again. And you're losing a time capsule effect, but there's probably plenty of others that are still time capsules. So maybe by kind of modernizing a few of them is not such a horrible thing. So that was Mercedes World here at Legends of the Autobahn. Now I'm going to be here all week. Tomorrow I'm going to the Quail, and there's going to be a lot of cars being unveiled at the Quail. Most of them cars that probably most people that watch this video, and I don't mean to diss you guys, if you're very rich, congratulations. But let's face it, most of us can't afford stuff that's being shown at the Quail, but that's kind of what makes it fun, right? You get to see the eye candy that a lot of people are lucky enough to afford. Now, here we are, of course, in Audi, but the one car, speaking of cars that we can afford, that caught my eye wasn't this Quattro, it was my Eastern European heritage. It was this Trabant right here. You own this Trabant?
Yes.
Could I get a quick interview with
you?
Hold on. Hold on. Let me turn this mic on. I have to say, I gotta kind of feel like this is my favorite car here.
Thank you.
And there's a reason for that, because I used to live in Prague, and I used to drive this because my uncle had one. Now, you're big like me.
Yes.
And the first problem I remember was trying to drive a Trabant. By the way, I'm Roman with TFL. So
Matthias.
Nice to meet you, Matthias.
Yeah.
Is that I didn't fit in it. I almost had to like sit in the back seat to drive this thing. Do you fit in there?
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
A lot of headroom.
Yeah.
But without modifying the front seat, you kind of feel like a pretzel in there. So I removed the stops and I was able to just put the seat back about another inch and a half.
My uncle had
and
one.
I fit fine.
Oops, sorry. This is coming down. Oh. Let me make sure it's kind of coming down. My uncle had one.
Yeah.
And I kind of had to put the seat down and sit on the back of the seat to drive it. Now, have you gotten used to the three on the tree?
Very much so. Yeah, I find it intuitive at this point. Yeah.
All right. So tell me about the car. How'd you get it?
Yeah. Is my third one.
Okay.
So my first two I imported from Hungary.
Okay.
One of them was wrecked.
Yeah.
The second one I got rid of in COVID. It just kind of was a bad color combination. I didn't like it. It needed a bunch of work. And I always told myself the next Trabant I'm going to get is going to be green. And they're the rarest color. So I just randomly
did a green one.
Yeah, it's called Panama Green.
Yeah.
And it's the rarest color they came in.
Yeah, so and my uncle,
yeah.
There was a joke. There was So my uncle was in the Czech Republic in Prague, and there was a joke. And the joke went something like, a guy goes to a Trabant salesman, and he says, I'd like to order a Trabant. And the salesman looks in the calendar and said, okay, I can deliver it 10 years from now, Thursday at 2.
Yeah.
And the guy says, well, that's no good because that's when the plumber comes. So that's the old, so he waited 10 years for this.
Yeah.
Did you wait 10 years?
No. No, the second-hand Trabants are worth like twice as much as a new one.
Okay.
Because you could just buy it now.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Can you pop the hood?
Of course.
Let's look at
Let me see if, I don't know if I locked it. Yeah. No, I did lock it.
All
so
right.
Hold on, let me.
Now this what makes this, of course, unusual is that you have to mix gas.
Yeah, you have to pre-mix the oil.
And it's got this unusual smell. So when you're following one, that's beautiful. Look how clean that is.
Yeah.
When you're following one, you immediately know you're behind a Trabant.
Yeah. That being said, this one has a rebuilt engine, and we're running good 2-stroke oil, so it actually barely smokes.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Usually the worn-out ones stink real bad, or if someone's tailgating you, you just pull the choke. And then you send out a smoke cloud behind you.
Rebuilt engine. What does that mean? Like 25 horsepower?
It's 26 horsepower.
Okay.
It is. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah. Yeah. A 26 horsepower and good rings. So you don't have, you're not blowing smoke out everywhere.
It just lifts out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. The front.
Yeah, so the service position, not like a Mini Cooper, you have to take the whole front of the car off. But on this one, you just unscrew these two screws. And then at that point, you can get to the carburetor, the alternator.
Do you work on this yourself?
Yes. I did everything. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
What year is this?
88.
Okay.
One of the last years. They made them until 91.
The interior looks really clean.
Yeah, it's very original. But ever since I started driving it, the driver's seat's taking a beating. So I'm going to have to get some new seat covers.
Now, for all you Trabant newbies out there, there are some very unusual things about a Trabant. First and foremost is, of course, that.
The Duroplast.
Yeah. Which is, people call it paper mache. I don't think that's fair, but
It's more like fiberglass, if anything. And it's made from shredded up cotton that they would just stamp together with a resin. And just stamp it hard, and it's pretty strong stuff. You can actually swing a bat at it, and it'll just bounce off. But it can crumple.
Yeah.
It just depends.
Yeah, my uncle got his in an accident, and it was like cotton fibers everywhere.
Everywhere.
But it's Corvette technology.
It is one. It has transverse leaf springs, just like a Corvette.
And you can see the wheels. How they're towing.
Exactly. Yeah. So it has everything in common with a Corvette.
Exactly. Except the 26 horsepower.
Yeah, right.
So I see you've got the Hungarian license plate.
That's from my first Trabant that I imported a long time ago. And then that Trabant got T-boned and it rolled over, wrecked.
Were you okay?
Yeah, it was fine. And so then I took the plates off of that and I just put it on this
one.
Were
you able to like get this registered?
I'm in the process of registering it. So it has
what state?
California.
Oh, fudge.
It's interesting. There is vehicle code in California that exempts two-cylinder and two-stroke cars.
Yeah.
However, then there's a whole set of imported vehicle code they have to deal with. So there's kind of conflicting vehicle code on the matter. So
are you into Eastern European cars?
Yeah.
I showed a car here. Yeah. I was telling these guys like, actually like 13 or 14 years ago, but I bought a Tatra 603.
I would love one.
I bought one in Prague and I drove it here. I drove it from Prague to Bremerhaven, put it on the boat.
You did a whole YouTube series. I've watched all
thanks,
of it.
Man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Of course. I didn't know that was you. Yeah, I've watched it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the entire journey and you ended here, right?
Yeah,
right around here. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I showed it here at Clutches of the Autobahn.
Wonderful.
Well, we've got a sickness. But it's a good sickness.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah. My goal is to get a Tatra 613, the newer generation.
Yeah. I moved there in the 90s. And those things were dirt cheap. I mean, you could pick one up for
now. They're a lot.
Oh, you could pick one up for like two and a half. You know who has a lot of them? Do you know Jeff over at the Lane Museum in Nashville?
No.
So if you're ever in Nashville, there's a guy named Jeff who has this museum, and he's into quirky, crazy cars. So he's got Trabants, he's got 613s, he's got 603s.
Yeah.
So if you're ever in Nashville, check out the Lane Museum.
Okay, I will.
All right, thank you, Matthias.
Pleasure.
It was a pleasure meeting you. I'm going to take this mic back. All right, and congratulations on the Trabant. Yeah.
Thank you.
Next, I mean, drive it back down. Where are you from in California?
Santa Cruz.
Yeah,
how about you?
Oh, I'm from Colorado, Boulder.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you're not far.
No, I'm not far.
Oh, yeah.
No. Right. And the next goal is a Škoda.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Škodas.
But,
which one?
I haven't made up my mind yet, but.
Oh, hold on. Let me put this back on.
Okay.
So, you said next goal is the Škoda.
Yeah, Škoda.
Oh, it's close to my heart.
I haven't decided yet. I could do the 110 RS, which kind of looks like a 911 from the side.
Yes.
Or the newer generation as well, and that you can get a Škoda from the late 80s that's like a 5-speed, has independent rear suspension.
Like a Favorite?
Or Rapide. Rapide, I think.
Yeah, those are the first under Volkswagen.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you one last story.
Yeah, of course.
So I lived in Prague when it went from communist to capitalist, and I wanted to get a Fabia, which is a convertible.
Yes.
Remember? The 60s convertible?
Yeah.
And I found one for, at that time, it was 60,000 crowns, and the crown was 23 to $1. So $3,000 for a Fabia.
Wow. Yeah.
And the guy who wanted to sell it to me, it was restored, pristine. I drove it back to the house we were renting to show my wife.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of like you, right? We're very similar in body stature. And she almost passed out laughing because she said I was driving a bathtub. I was such a huge guy in this little tiny car.
Yeah.
And now that car is probably worth, well, I don't know, a lot more.
A lot more.
Than $3,000.
Of course,
All right.
Anyway.
It was a pleasure meeting you. And thank you for bringing your car. Really.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Oh, by the way, TFL, if you're ever interested, it'll be on TFL. Yeah, TFL.
I'm gonna get out of that
TFL. This will be on TFL class. No, TFL Talk.
TFL Talk. Okay.
Yep. All right.
Thank you.
Take care. All right. Well. Thank you for putting up with my sickness, or should I say guilty pleasure, which are Tatras, as we walk by this TT. And no videographer here, so it's just me. So if you're getting angry about watching the sausage being made, I apologize. But, you know, sometimes it's very expensive to be here. When we're here with the Tatra, Nathan, myself, and Emmy, who drove it across country, we stayed at the La Quinta. This was, like I said, 13, 14 years ago. And it was $600 a night, and I felt like I was slumming it. Another BMW. But we were staying with the Maserati team, so this place gets crazy. And you can see right there, right? This is one Porsche, two Porsches. It's just the place to be if you love cars. And if you love exotic cars or classic cars or German cars or Italian cars, and I will be covering the Quail, like I said, tomorrow. So come on over again to TFL Talk. This is kind of our podcast channel, but we also put our long form videos on this channel. So we do these long walk arounds. That's why this is living on TFL Talk. So let me know in the comments below, what's been your favorite car so far that you've seen? Are you a fan of the Audis? I wonder why they put the Tatra in the Audis. Here's a first-gen M3. Let's see here. I almost killed myself in an E36 M3. Yeah, these cars, it's the second generation, the E36 that actually sold better. But I think these first gen cars were very expensive and people just didn't get them. But this being Legends of the Autobahn, I mean, I think we're missing Porsche. I mean, I see a Porsche right there, but that can't be the only Porsche here, can it? You would think a show dedicated to German cars would have more Porsches, but maybe not. Or maybe I didn't walk far enough past all the BMWs. So I guess I could keep going. If you walk a little farther. And where's Volkswagen? Speaking of Volkswagen, I mean, there's your Volkswagen classic van, which is, you know, also a legend of the Autobahn. I think this time for being slow more than being fast. But let's keep walking over here. Maybe I didn't go far enough into BMW land to find Volkswagen or Porsche land, or maybe that isn't here. So we'll keep going. Now, of course, a lot of these shows are sponsored by the BMW Club of America or the Mercedes Club of America. Love the color, by the way. M4. BMW lent me an M4 convertible competition. I believe this is a CS. Let's look. Yeah, that's a CS, but I'm driving an M4 competition convertible all-wheel drive. Seems odd to have a all-wheel drive convertible, especially now that it's raining. But that was very nice of BMW to loan that car to me. So let's keep going. Let's see what else there is. And there's, like I said, BMW Club of America right there. Let's see if there's any other cool cars with owners standing by them that we can talk to. This one seems to be missing a hood. That is an incredible engine. Holy cow. An incredible interior too. I mean, oh, look at that. Yeah, I kind of think like you need the hood, but hey, if you've spent all this time and money to make your engine look beautiful, why not put a little short hood? But then it begs the question, does it actually ever get driven or does it go to shows? Don't know. Let's go see. Yeah, it's all BMWs here. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I don't think that they're... I think this might be a BMW parking. Yeah, there's an M3 CSL. Yeah, I don't see Porsche World. So, Audi, BMW, and Mercedes, and of course, Trabant seems to be the place to be. I said, of course. You guys want to see what it's like to drive an Asetta? Just head over to TFL Classics. Tommy and Case just drove one of these, and quite the experience. I'm going to see if... I can see the engine. So there's your M88. And it doesn't look like much, but mid-engined in the M1. Just a beautiful car. Yeah. Just a beautiful car. Yeah, maybe because it was on my wall when I was a kid. Maybe that's why I have a deep and abiding fondness for this car. So let's head on over back to where we started. Oh, this is interesting. Got this car is running. Oh, it's being judged. So these cars are being judged. Interesting. So there are trophies at stake. But obviously this car is very original. Look at the roof. A lot of patina. 2002. Let's see which one that is. Oh, I love it. This is like 2002 TII, and I love the tire that is half peeled off. That's a nice touch. I kind of feel like I'm at Legends. Lemons. Sorry, Lemons. With these cars. And of course, is this BMW's future? A lot of you would say no. The i5.
Exactly.
And if you have driven one of the BMW electric cars, which we have, you'd be surprised just how well they drive. So before you kind of turn up your nose on electrification, and I say that because every time we do an electric car, people are first comment is, hell no. But all I would say is drive one before you say hell no. Of course, it is missing those magnificent exhausts. Well, those magnificent exhausts, which are incredibly cool and incredibly fun. But still, ironically, with all those giant exhausts, the electric cars are probably going to be quicker. Anyway, guys, thank you for joining me for this walk around of the Legends of the Autobahn. I will be walking around the Quail tomorrow and come back for another fun episode. And if you're interested in, of course, all TFL videos, head on over to alltfl.com. And if you want to help support the channel, become a Patreon. We're really trying to promote that now. YouTube revenue is declining rapidly, and so it's because of our patrons that I'm able to, and BMW, of course, thank you for bringing me out here, that I'm able to, I couldn't afford this, is that I'm able to come out here and cover this event for you guys. And we'll finish off where we started, which is with the new M2CS. See you next time. Ciao.
Get your exterior painting to-dos done easily with Dutch Boy Pristine Exterior Paint. With its rain rinse technology, rain naturally washes away dirt and grime. Plus, it resists cracking and peeling, making it perfect to withstand the harshest weather conditions. Save big money on pristine exterior paint and start your painting project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.